We present the news quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
And welcome to the news quiz. We start with an unusual dish offered by Peter's Irish Pub in Maastricht, read by Zeb Soames.
All of our burgers are made in-house and served with lettuce, pickles and tomato in a tasty bun.
Our thanks to Eva Luchik for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Zoe Lyons and Hugo Rifkin. And opposite them, on my left, John Robbins and Danielle Ward. Zoe, what's a damn shame?
Oh, this is the very sad, tragic story of the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris this week that caught fire and was partially, not completely, destroyed. There was a huge outcry and a huge shock around the world because, you know, it's a world-famous building, it's very iconic, a lot of people have a lot of memories that they've created there. I mean, I myself, personally, spent a very memorable afternoon, one Saturday afternoon in the shadow of Notre Dame, enjoying an espresso coffee that cost €9, served by a rather grumpy French waiter who got a bit arsy because I couldn't say si vous plat correctly. So... and now, obviously, there's an investigation underway as to how this happened, because the cathedral was undergoing reconstruction. But the fire started at 6:30 in the evening, and a bit of me went, that wasn't a French worker that set that on fire. And then Macron made a very emotional speech. I don't know whether you saw it. He had the sort of mad-eyed stare. Did you see his speech? He looked like he had an afternoon on the perno. And he did sort of come up with this plan to distract the attention from the yellow vests. Like, he sort of like, you know what, I could set fire to something major in the city. It would take the pressure off me. And he had this very sort of impassioned speech about bringing France together again and rebuilding this beautiful cathedral. And they're going to build it in under 5 years, at which point every stonemason in the land went, that ain't going to happen, mate. Took 100 years to build the thing in the first place. That ain't going to happen. And of course, because it was a religious thing that went up, certain people saw, they saw Jesus on social media. People were sending in pictures going, I can see Jesus in the flames.
Could it possibly have been one of the many statues of Jesus? When I saw it burning down, my first thought was God must have really hated the second series of Fleabag.
The remarkable thing is the amount of money that's been raised almost instantly to repair the building. It's incredible that this amount of money can be raised so quickly for this when there are so many other problems in society that could be easily helped with that amount of money.
There was some works going on. It needed 150 million is what they originally needed to raise, which they were struggling to do so. Now, as a result of the fire, the figure stands at €1 billion suddenly. Which does make you wonder if perhaps Chris Grayling has suddenly started working as a roofer. Do you think it will become a smaller story than it is now? I mean, by the end of the week, once Trump is sort of in prison, do you think people will be... Is this the same week that Notre Dame caught fire? Was that this week?
Trump waded in as well with some helpful hints, didn't he, of putting the fire. It was like, you know, it's distressing to see the Notre Dame on fire. They need to get flying water tankers in there. You're like, what on earth? The French Civil Security Service, though, pointed out that if they dropped that amount of water from a height on that already fragile and compromised building, it would have completely destroyed it. So Trump's answer to protecting a burning medieval building is just, knock it down! There you go, stop burning!
You can't burn something that doesn't exist.
No, exactly.
Did you see there was a sort of American evangelist who posted this thing on Twitter with a picture of the gold cross on the altar, basically saying, how can you not believe in God when this cross survives and the church burned down? To which a scientist replied to her and said, the melting point of gold is 1,064 degrees centigrade. And a wood fire burns at 600 degrees centigrade.
This is the news that over €1 billion has been pledged to restore Notre Dame Cathedral after a fire ravaged the historic building. The Archbishop of Notre Dame insisted he didn't start the fire, adding, it's always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray. He's gone mad, basically. Thankfully, Notre Dame's 10 bells survived the fire. The bells are called Bourdon, Emmanuel, Jean-Marie, Maurice, Benoît Joseph, Étienne, Marcel, Denis, Anne-Genevieve, Gabrielle, and Bourdon-Marie, which does make one wonder if we should perhaps have put more thought into the naming of Big Ben. does sound like we were just one step away from calling it Mr. Ding Dong, doesn't it? The fund set up to help rebuild Notre Dame was expected to pass €1 billion on Wednesday. But if no historic cathedrals come forward to claim that jackpot, it rolls over. So remember, if you're a UNESCO-listed monument, it could be you. In the aftermath of the disaster, MPs have warned there is a huge risk of Parliament catching fire, especially if anyone brings a naked flame near Ken Clark after three on a Friday. Mercifully, the 8,000-pipe grand organ has not suffered any fire damage, though if you do need any tips for a burning organ, I would suggest yoghurt and a prayer. 2 points to Zoe. Hugo, what old classic has gone viral?
Measles. Measles is back. The World Health Organization said this week that the number of measles cases worldwide has quadrupled since this time last year. And the reason is outbreaks, and the reason for the outbreaks is the anti-vaccination movement, basically. And it's all because, you know, people who go, these vaccines are all bad for you, you actually just need to have a dose of the disease and then you'll never get it again. To which you can only really say, yes, that's what a vaccine is, you idiot. it's literally what it is. The sort of anti-vax, it's a sort of bellwether for fake news and nonsense. Vaccines are safe. People say, oh, you've no right to tell me what to do with my children. You can only retort, well, you've no right to kill my children, or younger children, or unborn children, or children having chemotherapy. But that's what refusing to vaccinate your own children does. And you also want to say, also, get your child a haircut, you stupid hippie. Look at him. He'll be on drugs when he's 12 anyway. And if you think MMR is bad for him, try all the crack he's going to take to get away from you because you're awful. but it's... I mean, come on. But anti-vax, it's the ground zero of social responsibility. It's so stupid. The whole argument about not vaccinating your kids is so stupid. People say things like, well, my great-grandparents weren't vaccinated and it didn't do them any harm. And it's like, no, well, you don't want to ask them. You want to ask the people who died, but you can't because they died. it's annoying.
It does seem extraordinary, though, that it's something that's sort of caused by a spread of... It's fake news, I suppose, isn't it? It's just, but the option would be to sort of turn it around and put out... fake vaccine stories that work the other way, just sort of on, you know, measles vaccine linked to massive PPI payouts. Or I had my MMR, now I own a racehorse. Something.
It's got to the point where vets in Australia are reporting that people are refusing to have their dogs vaccinated because they are scared that their dog is going to become autistic. My dog's got a bit of ADHD, but it's fine. It's, you know, he's the usual sort of dog. He's nervous around the house. He doesn't like the Hoover, so I just get him to do the dusting. I mean, that's what you do.
Danielle, what do you think about the anti-vax movement?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? When my daughter was born, she was born in central London, and she needed to have heart surgery. And as a routine in central London, they give you the BCG, because the TB rates in central London have got really, really high. And she couldn't have it because she had heart surgery. And then we moved to Yorkshire, and I said to the doctor, oh, she's not had her BCG, should she have it? And he went, we don't get TB around here. it's a very weird metropolitan thing.
Wasn't the BCG, wasn't that the one that was like a sort of pin cushion that they had a run up?
The one you've got the scarf on, probably.
Yeah,
Like it was like 10 needles in one thing. I mean, I went to school in Glasgow, so maybe it was a bit more...
TB's the one you get from badges and spitting. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Good.
My friend who lives in Stoke Newington got whooping cough, again, because of, like, people not vaccinating their kids, and she was really ill. She had to be sick in bins in Prague.
Wow.
That was the treatment that they prescribed, was it?
We're
going to put you on a trial thing. We've tried vaccinations and stuff, but a lot of people we've been finding, we've been getting them on an EasyJet and getting them to go and sick in the... in Prague, and it's... all it's really done is move the problem further away.
Maybe we'll all be getting old diseases post-Brexit. We'll be rickets and all sorts going on. We'll be like, oh, I can't come out tonight, got a bit of scurvy.
A bit of trench foot, something like that.
Trench foot, yeah.
A chill blaine? Is that an old disease?
I used to get terrible chilblains as a child. I thought, oh, terrible, terrible, my feet, terrible chilblains. And they brought out this drug at the time, and it was a bit of an experimental drug. I remember the doctor going, we haven't really tried it, but give her this, it might help. And it turned me into one massive chilblain. I remember going into my mum in the living room and went, I feel a bit funny, mum. And she just looked at me and went, oh, my God! I was entirely red. I had turned into a huge chilblain.
What is a chilblain?
Yeah, I don't know what
it is.
Not entirely sure. It's just sort of...
Is it something to do with radiators?
I think if you're very cold, you need to be warmed up gradually or you get chilblains, whatever they are. I remember a friend of mine got very, very cold in Canada. And she said, right, I've got to get in the bath, my feet are so cold. And then her husband came in and goes, no, don't put any hot water. And you start with freezing water, then you gradually make it hotter.
Yes,
but then that might be the sort of boiling a frog thing. Maybe he was trying to do her in. I can't remember. can anyone remember who sort of in this country got the anti-vax movement started?
Oh, it was Wakefield, wasn't it? Yeah. Andy Wakefield, yeah.
Now debunked, I suppose. But he's, if you look on Wikipedia, he's a former physician.
Is he not like, he's a big hit in America these days, isn't he?
For whatever reason, his shtick goes down very well.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they say Trump's a secret anti-vaxxer.
Well, he used to tweet about it very heavily. He put out sort of hundreds of tweets saying it's all nonsense. And then
he got measles.
And then Bill Gates went to meet him and persuaded him to think otherwise. It's amazing. I don't know what he must have incredible skills that we don't necessarily associate with the IT community. But he. But he was able to go and change Trump's... I can't imagine changing Trump's mind about anything.
It's like whenever he says something wrong, a little paperclip pops up.
Yeah, this is the news that the number of measles cases reported worldwide in the first 3 months of 2019 has quadrupled compared to this time last year. What we need is less misinformation online and more of those posters from the golden era. Coughs and sneezes spread diseases. Please stop sneezing in my hand. And wives sink warships. Don't discuss the Hun with your woman. Children, as a rule, are disgusting. So anything we can do to make them less disgusting is a win by me. That's why I've replaced the front drive with a sheep dip. No less than 2 minutes. I want to see wet hair. 2 points to Hugo. John, who's created a climate of chaos?
Well, everyone who is here tonight knows the answer to this question, because we are currently yards away from the Extinction Rebellion protests, the climate change protests in London, which makes us all correspondents coming live from the scene. We're essentially Kate Adie, but with access to Pinot Grigio. Is this the closest the news quiz has been to a story it has reported?
I imagine during the Savile inquiry we were slightly... We were slightly closer then, I think.
This is the blocking of areas including Oxford Circus, which is where we're near Marble Arch and Waterloo Bridge, to raise awareness of the demands of Extinction Rebellion, which are zero carbon emissions by 2025, transparency in government on relation to climate change, and a citizens' assembly to oversee the progress. And I don't know about you, but having become rather exhausted with Brexit over the last 2 years, it's actually quite refreshing to be reminded that we're all going to be dead in 50 years anyway. One protester who glued himself to a lorry was quoted as saying, I've got the week off work. If more is necessary, I can make my excuses. Which sort of does make you wonder what those excuses are going to be. Perhaps calling his boss to say that he couldn't make it to work because he's stuck on traffic. I went to visit the Pink Boat in Oxford Circus on my way here, and I have to say it was a thoroughly pleasant experience. I'm from Bristol. It reminded me of Bristol because if you've never been to Bristol, that's what it's like. healing tents, the odd shaman knocking around, and... Miles, I don't mince my words when I say the evening breeze caught the odd whiff of our old friend, Benson and Hendricks. and the police, there were lots of police there, but they're all being incredibly tolerant and they're just sort of monitoring the situation, which sort of changes the narrative in the press because there's no one chucking like chairs into McDonald's windows. It's just people sort of doing henna tattoos and giving you leaflets about plastics in the ocean. So that some of the papers have struggled to up the peril. And I sort of thought this was summed up by a quote from The Guardian, where they said, "Several hundred officers appeared in Parliament Square, removed roadblocks and took down gazebos, retaking the space without difficulty. However, there were reports that activists had managed to hold the space after the arrival of a samba band."
Samba is, of course, one of the few things that... that's like kryptonite to police horses. They can cope with sort of 500 football casuals charging at them onto the teeth, but once they hear the rhythms, the Latin rhythms, of course, they've got one too many legs to dance properly, and it gets very upsetting for them.
We have to take responsibility as individuals as well, but it's hard, isn't it? I mean, I've got friends who, you know, they sort of purport to be very ecologically friendly, you know. Last year they went to an eco-resort in Costa Rica and just banged on about it for ages. Like, it was amazing. It was just rainwater that we collected and just solar panel lighting, and then there was a system of sort of small gerbils on bikes that just created electricity, and it was a really, really, you know, back to nature experience. I went, that sounds amazing. I said, how did you get there? Flu. It's like, I mean, that's it. You cannot boast about going to an eco resort in Central America unless you've actually walked there. That's it.
Did you see the ones who superglued themselves to Jeremy Corbyn's fence?
Yes.
Oh yes.
They were my favourites. They seemed really sweet. They seemed to really like Jeremy Corbyn despite having superglued themselves to his fence, which seemed conceptually confused a bit, because he came out and he didn't want to talk to them, and he seemed a bit annoyed that they were superglued to his fence, and they were really upset that he was annoyed with them for supergluing themselves to his fence. And I mean, partly it made you wonder if actually, you know, if Jeremy Corbyn sometimes superglues himself to his fence, and that's... But it was also, what's the point in supergluing yourself? I mean, like, the guy who superglued himself to a train, that makes sense, because trains go places, and they can't if they've got a person superglued to them. Jeremy Corbyn's fence is just sitting there. You can just...
What sort of glue do you use at that point? Because you always read the sign, it's like ceramic, ceramic, metal to metal, glass to metal, hand to fence. Oh, brilliant, it's this one.
I was actually quite worried that superglue maybe wasn't that environmentally friendly.
I don't think it is.
I mean, I guess if you do it with a mix of flour and water and get that sticky stuff that kids use, then that's fine, but it's also quite easy for the riot police to pull you
quite
off.
Quite chemically, isn't it?
Yeah.
I accidentally superglued my finger and thumb together recently. My favourite fridge magnet had fallen off the fridge and dramatically smashed on the floor, and I had to super glue it together. But I'm quite cack-handed, and I managed to super glue my fingers together. It was an anxious week. Just have to sort of, you have to...
Were the fingers around the fridge handle at the time? Effectively super glue.
Doing a protest in my own house, super gluing myself to the fridge.
I have to tell him I'm protesting. I can't say I've done this accidentally.
I once interviewed a guy who tried to super glue himself to Gordon Brown. Actually, now I think about it. He was an environmental activist as well, and he went up to him at a, I don't know, some kind of press conference dressed as a suit and grabbed onto his sleeve and tried to, and Gordon Brown didn't notice that he'd been superglued to for a while. So he just had to follow him around, going, "Oh, Prime Minister, Prime Minister." And then the superglue came off and he wandered away, and that was it. That was the end of his protest. And no one would have known about it if he hadn't told me.
I have a guilty secret about the environment.
Is it on? Oh, it's all right. Just quickly wanted to check it was on topic.
So I recycle everything. But then sometimes if I might allow myself a treat. So if there's like a jar and it's got a lot of pickle in the bottom, I might sort of look around my empty house and I'll think, I could throw this in the normal bin. and it's quite a thrill. If you can't be asked to... The worst is a jar of English mustard. If you can't be asked to get that out, just wait till everyone's asleep. Creep downstairs, whack it in the normal bin. No one's going to know.
God, you seem very empowered by this as well. Why, can I ask why you throw out the jars that have stuff in rather than the empty ones?
I mean remnants.
Don't tell us if it's difficult for you.
I mean remnants that would be a ball ache to remove. Have you ever tried removing, say, 14 grams of smeared Coleman's mustard.
With your balls. With...
Now, that I have. With a knife, it's an absolute nightmare.
Is that what they call gentleman's relish?
This is the news that activists have descended on 80 cities around the world, including London, as part of the Extinction Rebellion climate change protest. Activists brought London's West End to a standstill, their aim being to create a sense of urgency. And indeed, what could cause more urgency than the threat of being late getting from Café Rouge to the curtain up of Kinky Boots? Hurry up, Harriet. Forget the revels. With DJs and food stalls, it's certainly a cheaper alternative to Glastonbury, and you won't have to risk bumping into Tom Watson in his shorts. Protesters on Waterloo Bridge have used blockades and pot plants to create what's being called a garden bridge, meaning that in 3 days they've already proved more competent than Boris Johnson. Incidentally, Extinction Rebellion was also the name of the new metal band I was in at university. Dave on vocals, Steve on drums, he's still crazy, and... old Juppie here on Tuber and Vibes. 2 points. Danielle, who's shutting off the smut?
Oh, yes. This is finally happening after much chat. The government, who seem to have all the technological nous of a 90-year-old who calls the toaster one of those newfangled hottie bread machines, are bringing in an age check scheme designed to stop under-18s viewing pornographic websites, which comes into force on the 15th of July, or, because it's the government, possibly sometime in the next 36 months. And from that date, you'll have to verify your age, which seems like a good idea, until you realise that it's only the big porny websites like Pornhub and Todgerwatch. And... and not sites like Twitter, and Twitter has an awful lot of porn on it. It does seem like a good idea until you remember that they're using technology that baffles 60-year-old men in Westminster, but that the average teen will be able to get around quicker than you or I can work out how to start the iPlayer. You have to prove that you're 18 before you're allowed to access these porn sites, but you can. You can do it online if you want to do it that way, or if you like a little bit of nostalgia with your porn, you can do it analogue. You know, if you're the kind of person who misses sleazy guitar riffs and hefty bushes, you're in quite a lot of luck because you can buy a porn pass from the newsagents. Just like the olden days. You wanted Empire 2.0, that's what it looks like. So the porn pass system is just you go into the newsagent and the newsagent has to go, oh yes, you are over the age of 18, you can have a porn... But I don't know who that... Like, it's going to be people going in going, oh, can I have a porn pass and a phone card and the yellow pages and some rickets, please? Because if you are under the age of... Like, anybody under the age of 25 just knows how to install a VPN anyway on the computer. So it's bad technology. And I say this as someone who has no interest in porn whatsoever.
I'd like to... I was interested by a few things you said.
You can get your nan to buy the pass for you if that helps.
I hadn't even heard of porn before this, the reading up about this story. You mentioned you can get it on Twitter.
You can get it on Twitter.
How would you do that?
There's ladies on Twitter that put pictures of their bums.
Oh, dear. I'm really not. I don't want to stumble across that on Twitter. So, is there anyone specific I should avoid? Another thing you said, which I found very interesting, is that you said the average teen would be able to get around this technology.
Yeah.
And what? How might they? What would the average? I'm not a. I don't have any kids or anything. So, what might you have to? They do because I'm worried. About people accessing it.
I think that you have to get a VPN. It's
is that
privacy.
When your pants show?
That's when you.
But
it's like the opposite, isn't it? When you like back in the 80s, if you wanted to have porn, you had to go and get like an older man to buy it for you from the shop. But now you need to hire a teenager to access it on your computer.
No, but what you did back then was you found the news agents that would leave it out. For the delivery to pick up the returns, and they would leave it out the night before. And so if you got there early in the morning, there'd essentially be a stack of it, you know, in those sort of strips that you can easily, you know, cut with a small scissors. But and then I would just throw it away so that, just like this, so you didn't stumble across it. Thanks, yeah, that's all my questions, thank you.
Hugo, are you concerned about this?
It's a really difficult issue for opinion columnists, because it's actually quite a big civil liberties issue, but no one wants to write in the newspaper about porn. So it's tough in that regard. What's really genuinely bad about it is, because if you have to register for porn sites with your credit card or with your phone number, basically what that's doing is that's building a massive database of everybody's porn habits. So you're going to get spammed with porn according to your tastes. Or worse still, your household kind of sort of computer account is going to get spammed with porn according to somebody's tastes, and you're going to have to guess who it is. Yeah. It was better in the old days. Remember in the old days when you just used to be porn in the bushes in every park? Remember that?
Well, yeah, and of course, since climate change, the porn doesn't grow anymore, does it?
It's got rid of the hedgerow.
I assume that's what it was.
Yeah. Kids today don't even know there used to be porn in bushes.
Kids today don't know there used to be bushes in porn. No,
God, I hope that makes the cut. That's very high in there. I mean, I don't know what it refers to, but it seems like a very... Structurally, it's clearly a good joke.
So you go into a newsagent and ask for a porn, like a scratch card?
Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to here?
Yeah, I don't know, I'm just...
Well, Danielle's very gendered.
Yeah, I've boned up
just
on it.
Just boldly striding. Hello there, packet of Wrigley's. And a porn pass, please. And then how does that... You scratch off and you get a code, or...?
Scratch off.
Scratch off.
Is it like the sort of National Trust passes? Is it cheaper as a family?
I think it's very much like that.
You, for heaven's sake, so I'm in.
Stick it in the rear view of your Volvo after years.
Everything you're saying sounds like a terrible euphemism.
This is the news that the government's controversial porn block will go into effect on the 15th of July. At last, a news story that touches us all. The age limit will be set at 18, begging the question, do we really want to live in a world where you can join the army but not watch Grandma's sizzling Cornish Holiday 4, Nude in Bude? The government has exempted large social media sites from the ban, so don't worry, listeners, the News Quiz Twitter feed will continue to be an absolute cesspit of raunch. Anyway, let's focus on the real issue here. 15th of July is P-Day, so fire up the photocopier, let the stockpiling begin. 2 points to Danielle. And at the end of round one, the scores are Zoe and Hugo have 4, and so too to John and Danielle. We start round two with a headline from The Guardian.
As the Royal Academy announces a retrospective of Renaissance nudes, Charlotte Higgins asks, should we take them down or look at them harder?
Our thanks to Brian Sloan for sending us that. Zoe, take a listen to this. You can have my credit card, baby, but keep your red hot fingers off of my heart, lady. All I know is what I see. You're getting what you want, and girl, it ain't just me. No matter how you cry, I'm not... Well, everyone at the radio theatre is up and out of their seats. seeing all sorts of moves here, but... Zoe, who might be charged for overcharging?
This is MasterCard, who might be facing a massive lawsuit against them. It was a surprise. Court ruling means that a $14 billion lawsuit could be revised against MasterCard. It was thrown out of the courts last year. The Competition Appeals Tribunal threw it out, but the Court of Appeal has ordered the tribunal to reconsider it. And it's a case brought by a man called Walter Merricks, who you might know from... 1950s American sitcom, by the sounds of him. And if this goes through, it means that up to 46 million people could be eligible for a claim of around £300 each. That's pretty much all of us, because you didn't even have to have a MasterCard, just use a business that used MasterCard as a payment form. So it's terribly exciting. And then you go, oh, that'd be nice, 300 quid, wouldn't it? You know, it'd be lovely if that went through. And then your brain starts going, oh, God, what if it's like PPI all over again, where you get just endless calls going, did you ever use a MasterCard? Have you ever seen a MasterCard? Have you ever had plastic in your pocket? You might be 300 quid coming your way. You know, it's the same with people. I get all those calls all the time from PPI. Have you ever had PPI? You could have PPI. Maybe you got PPI. It's like, no, I never had a loan. I didn't have any money. I never took a loan. You could have PPI. You could have PPI. Check your PPI. Check your PPI. PPI, 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 PPI. And in the end, I went, maybe I did have a PPI, even though I think I'm pretty sure I didn't have a PPI. And I filled out all the paperwork for the PPI. And then it came back and went, you didn't have a PPI. And I thought, you didn't have a PPI. So this could be PPI all over again. And, you know, 300 quid sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But the average national household debt is 15,400 quid, so drop in the ocean. But it's quite interesting because it's a massive class lawsuit. It's the biggest one ever.
So, but it's only recently that you've been able to have class action lawsuits in the UK. They're very big in America, which is where you can claim on behalf of the general public.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair that everyone gets £300. By the logic of this situation, if you're being overcharged in shops, rich people should get more. They've spent more, they should get more back. Poor people who couldn't spend much money don't deserve to get much back because they haven't spent more. You know it's right. I'm not saying it's pretty, it's not friendly, but you know it's right.
You think it should be distributed proportionally to the amount of money people probably spent in that period?
Probably spent. You could sort of assess people on the basis
of their
accents,
their clothes. And do you think that would be a fun thing for everyone to work out?
Yeah. Accents, maybe schooling, you know, and then you allocate the money proportionally for that.
Right.
I think in a way, you and I should not be against this.
I bought nothing at all in those years. I'm not due that money because it's just all inherited. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's a £14 billion consumer class action. This is the news that almost everyone in the UK could receive a payout of up to £300 from MasterCard after a court ruling revived the possibility of a class action lawsuit. Former financial ombudsman Walter Merricks is the man claiming damages on behalf of 46 million consumers. A real hero for our time. Are you listening, Martin Lewis? Saving £24 on your broadband bundle doesn't look so Billy Big Balls now, does it? Anyone who is over the age of 16 and a resident in the UK for 3 months or more between 1992 and 2008 is eligible. I knew having five children would pay dividends in the end. Draw all the curtains, unplug the toaster, pack up the minivan. We are off to the happiest place on earth. Majestic Wine, Calais. 2 points to Zoe. Hugo, what breakthrough has been hogging the limelight?
Okay, so I think I've got this right. A pig died, and scientists brought back to life the pig's brain. And then they put it in the body of a giant knight and got it to defend the queen. they didn't do the last bit. And it's a massive scientific breakthrough, and we should all be very excited for when we die like the pigs so they can bring our brains back. I don't know. I hate pigs. I worked on a pig farm once, like a good Jewish boy. And they're really horrible creatures.
Did they turn on you, Hugo?
They did, Miles,
did
yes.
Did the pigs do something to you?
Pigs conspire against the pig handler.
This sounds unbelievably paranoid.
it's true, they plot.
Of course, when I wasn't looking, they talked.
But they'll arrange things. They'll have one pig go behind you and another pig charges you from the front and trips you over.
Was this a George Orwell novel?
How long did this harrowing experience last, Hugo?
2 weeks, then we got sacked. From the pig farm.
Who's the we in this? And the pigs as well, were they?
The pigs were allowed to stay on. No, I was with a friend. We were working on a pig farm in Cornwall as teenagers, and we got sacked for pig mishandling. That sounds worse than it's meant to. Yeah.
This sounds like a story you made up in a hurry in a disciplinary meeting. Does this seem like a sensible use of one's time?
It's interesting in that it may, way down the line, shed some light on how we can perhaps halt or even reverse Alzheimer's in humans later on. But I think we're a long way off that point. It is a bit Frankenstein-y like. It's a bit freaky bringing something back to life. Just be worried now that you're full English, you just get off the plate and walk out the door.
It is reanimating the sausage. God, that sounds worse than that.
Danielle, you're broadly in favour of this.
I think it sounds great. I've always wanted to be a brain in a jar. Mm-hmm. And now I've got an 18-month-old child, so it sounds like a nice rest.
This is the news that scientists have partially revived some dead pigs' brains. And I think I speak for humanity when I say, thanks. I guess. This is proof cell death in the brain occurs across a longer time window than we previously thought, screamed one pig's head, before beating itself unconscious against the nearest wall. Scientists decided to give the therapy a go after stumbling upon some little-known research performed at Oxford in the 1980s, though they have tweaked Cameron's delivery system substantially. For some, this is a profound scientific discovery set to shape research for years to come. For others, it's an exciting new sandwich filler. Well, I know which camp I'm in. The research throws into question what makes a human fully alive. Well, I think we all know the answer to that. A hearty appetite, a twinkle in the eye, and the vigour to chase trespassers off a bridle way with a stout piece of ash. 2 points to Hugo. Danielle, take a listen to this. You're slim, you're weak, you got the teeth of the hide. Danielle, who's doing a roaring trade?
Well, it's very clever. You used the band T-Rex, and this is a story about Mark Bolan's ghost. There is a T-Rex for sale on eBay. This is Alan Dietrich, who is a professional fossil hunter. Though Hunter makes him sound a bit grand. Those fossils aren't going anywhere. And he's put a 68-million-year-old T-Rex skeleton up for sale on eBay for $2.95 million. What happened is he lent the fossil to the Kansas Natural History Museum in 2017, where it still is. But now he's decided to put it up for sale. So that sounds to me like a man who's clearly been dumped by Jan in the gift shop. Like, oh yeah, Jan, I'm going to take that fossil back. No one dumps me. But if you read the listing reads like this, that this is the actual listing. It says, most likely the only baby T-Rex in the world. It has a 15-foot-long body and a 21-inch skull with serrated teeth. It's a rare opportunity indeed to ever see a baby Rex. P.S. FYI, it is also dead, because that's not clear from my listing. You're not buying an actual T-Rex. No one's made a bid yet, but 100 people are watching it, all of them journalists, I assume. But Alan does, if you look on the listing, Alan has a no returns policy, which I totally agree with, because you don't want someone who's going to buy the skeleton, wear it to a wedding and then send it back saying it doesn't fit.
It's dangerous having this, though, up there, because this is the sort of thing I would buy when I'm at home very late at night after a few glasses of wine.
Yeah. You do a bit of late. If you're not night... safely glued to the fridge.
Myself to the fridge. Because I do this sometimes, like a bit late night, come home from a gig, have a couple of glasses of wine on your own, I'm a champion in my smoking.
Oh, you drink
jacket.
After work? That's a really sensible idea. God, yes. I don't know
why. Yeah. Not during it.
No, that's interesting. Yeah.
And then, but I have done that thing where you bought a couple of things and then you forget about it, and then it's a surprise when it turns up. It's about 3 days later, and my wife would be like, "What have you got now?" So I'm like, "I don't know. It's a tank. I must have bought a tank. That'll be handy." So yeah, I must stay off eBay while this is. Also, how do you categorise that? Does it come under home and garden or furnishings? Pet?
Like, who? I don't know who would spend that much money on a thing on eBay. That seems ridiculous. My policy for eBay is I don't buy anything on eBay that costs more than the amount of money that if I drop down the toilet, I'd be okay with.
How much is that?
That's £22.
Oh.
Maybe they could. Someone could buy it and put in it the reanimated pig's brain. Yeah. And then what would happen?
God. I think that would work. I think I'd be more interested then, because at the moment, I think all I'm getting out of this is the fossil of a baby T-Rex. But if there was a chance that it would sort of move towards me, that it would...
T-Rex is probably
be really
that
good
clever.
At finding truffles, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Wouldn't be able to pick them up, though.
Yeah. That's why they became extinct, isn't it? Couldn't do up their anoraks.
This is the news that a professional fossil hunter has put a T-Rex skeleton up for sale on eBay. I'm not sure what you do with a T-Rex skeleton when you get it. My guess, wind chimes, perhaps? Is it one of those items that looks full-size on eBay but isn't? I once bought a new toilet on there for 99p, but it was pretty obvious after two or three uses that it was meant for a doll's house. Paleontologists worry that if the dinosaur is sold on eBay, it might be damaged. I certainly wouldn't damage it. I'd save it for best. Just bring it out at parties as a massive cheese and pineapple hedgehog. 2 points to Danielle. Before we reveal the final scores, has anyone got a cutting they'd like to share? Zoe.
This has been sent in by Colin Taylor from Penkridge, who saw this road safety sign on the motorway between Delhi and Jaipur in India. It says, "Hug your children at home, belt them in the car."
Hugo.
This has been sent in by Catherine Pugh, and it's a poster for the Troutbeck Pancake Races. And it says, "Everybody's welcome. There'll be races for boys, girls, toddlers, ladies, men, a walking race for veterans, an inter-hotel race, and a stationary tossing competition, also open to all comers."
John.
This has been sent in by Andy Grimshaw, and it's from a window of a cafe in Hither Green. "Unfortunately, today's breastfeeding class has been cancelled due to a leak."
Danielle.
This cutting from The Guardian was sent by David Norris and many others. "Tens of thousands of euros have been flushed down the toilet in Geneva, leaving Swiss prosecutors scratching their heads over whether or not the money is dirty."
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Zoe and Hugo have 9, but this week's winners are John and Danielle with 10. Before we leave you, here is a lovely event spotted by Brian Thorpe in his local garden centre.
1. Easter Bunny Hunt. 2. Easter Bunny Breakfast.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Zoe Lyons, Hugo Rifkin, John Robbins and Danielle Ward. In the chair was Miles Jupp, and the news was read by me, Zeb Soames. The chair script was written by Madeline Brettingham, Lucy Clark and Laura Major, with additional material by Catherine Brinkler, Kat Sadler and Eshild Sears. The producer was Sarah Sharp, and it was a BBC Studios production.